I don't take it upon myself to make my art last forever.
Gotta get messy and show the world you're growing as an artist. And you're free to be yourself. You got a dream, you need to start it. Stick together. Get messy, says you're formally invited to a community where you can find people that spark the feel of excitement. Too many art supplies, not enough time. No, it's tough, and so you must find a way to feel some connection. We got a lot of people with the same kind. A great mind, we're here for you. A platform so we can hear your views. Time's yours, forget chores. I know you're bored of them same rules.
Welcome to the podcast today. I'm here with Musaha and she's joining me from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Chester, New Jersey, USA, world, universe.
Yeah, so Musa, a mixed media artist, educator, coloring book author, and an avid art journaler. Musa's goal is to empower women to connect with their creativity to heal, explore, and grow. She's been featured over 700 times. That is crazy. In print media, appeared on TV shows, and taught workshops around the US and Europe, as well as online for Creative Bug, Big Picture Classes, Donna Downey Studios, Laughbook, Wanderlust, and more. That is an insane, insane CV. Like, that is, you are impressive. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Me too. I'm excited too.
Now, 700 times. Have you saved all of them? That's crazy.
I used to in the beginning, but then I kind of lost track.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to simply put it just so I know where they went or what went where and have that.
Okay. So it's official. Once you like passed a certain level of cool, you just blase.
I went past the level of cool. I think it's still very cool. I would still very much love that. But with time, the main focus changed and I became more interested in teaching and creating mixed media than being published. And it was like scrapbooking was all the rage and all of the magazines were just so popular. And then that was something. And over time, I mean, the magazines did everything they could do for me and I'm going to be forever grateful for that. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm a girl from India who has a background in clinical psychology, here living in the States, staying at a stay-at-home mom with two kids. It just gave me a connection to the outer world.
I had not
envisioned my life to be as a stay-at-home mom. Like, you know, yeah, someday I'll get married. Someday maybe I'll have a family. But that was never going to be the main thing in my life. And somehow it turned out that was the main thing at that point of time. And I loved it, but I needed something more. Like, a lot of women are very satisfied with, I have seen my mom, just one kid, as satisfied, as bliss as can be. Like, still date, she's just straightening the beds. And, you know, I couldn't do that. It would just drive me crazy. I was like puttering around the house, mom. She said, no, this is, like, and I understood that that may seem like puttering to me, but to her, that's her spiritual thing almost.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you, kids crying, it doesn't matter. I'm holding my kid. I remember the first time, the first page I got published, I was holding my youngest at the time, my son at the time, in my arms because he was not going to be put down. And at some points I felt like sometimes when the kid was not in my arm, I was still holding my hand up like this because it was like, I wasn't fully awake. I needed sleep, but I needed to find some kind of expression.
Yeah.
And with scrapbooking, that was what I could do. That was an example of do what you can with what you have, where you are.
Yeah, so you kind of, you found your way into the whole creativity through scrapbooking.
And that it received me so well was, like, gave me a lot of emotional comfort, I should say.
Mm. So what made you, shift from scrapbooking into the more traditional kind of art things with paint and mixed media?
I used to paint and make collages before I knew they were called collages. And I'm talking about like when I was two, I wasn't allowed to hold scissors, so I would tear things. And my mom was very supportive. She's very creative herself. I come from a long line of women who are very creative. But nobody really thought of creativity as a profession or as a, like, it was a way of life, I would say. Just did everything with a lot of love and very artfully. And I got that. And that was just in my blood. And when I came here and I couldn't right away go to work because of immigration and all of those things, it was just, I couldn't. I didn't come here on a student visa. I came on a spouse visa, which meant there were so many restrictions as to if I can go back to school, if I can go back to work, if I couldn't do anything for some time. But that was like 2-3 years. The first 3 years, I was just not in a position to do any work. And then I had babies. And it was clear that the path had shifted. And I could, no matter how much I bang my head on the wall, it's not going to reopen that wall, because I need to make peace. That door has closed because new doors are opening and I need to open my eyes to them. So I started doing scrapbooking, and it was not an easy transition because I literally almost screamed and kicked and didn't want to be. I always enjoyed making art, and it was always going to be a hobby. I come from people who think that you have a proper job and you have a hobby on the side, and art can be a hobby. And they didn't encourage me to go to art school, even though a lot of people who were closely involved in art, they wanted me to do that. They thought that I had that potential. But my parents were like, you know what, you can always do that on the side. It's safer. And they are coming from a place of loving parents who want their kid to survive in this world. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe that is the way to go. Because when I was little, I was like, parents are God. Whatever they tell you, that
of course,
the word of God. Yeah. And now I understand that they were, what they were doing, they were trying to protect me, and they were coming from their own thinking and learning and what would be best for their kid, that she would be all set and she can always have some fun on the side. But it looks like life had a different plan, that fun was going to be the main thing. Life is going to be on the side. I kind of like that. And I'm glad I eventually opened up to it and ventured beyond just doing something at home.
Hmm.
I never expected art to become a living, ever. I did not think I was good enough. I didn't take it. I wasn't giving it what it needed to become a living.
Ooh.
I was just, it was going to be fun. And then a magazine started happening and I started getting paid. I was getting paid to tell the story of my family. And I was enjoying taking pictures. I was telling story, and it was, somebody was paying me for it. And then other people got on board because I was getting published. They wanted to send me stuff for free. And I'm like, wow. Like one paper pad costs like $20 and they're sending me loads and loads of stuff for free. And they're not even telling me do this. They're just telling me if you like it and I make it. And there were sometimes not all the products were thing I would pick for myself, but I took it as a challenge. Like if this looks uncool to me, what can I do to bridge the gap and make it cool? And then it became a thing, a challenge. I would challenge myself creatively. Can I turn this thing that is not speaking to me all that loudly and make it something that does? And I noticed that other people began to see that as well. And that kind of became a little niche thing. And eventually came a day when I began to be sponsored by a company where their stuff were cool and I no longer had to challenge myself. And it was Faber-Castell still came on board. It was like, it was out of the blue for me. And it was very emotional too, because when I was little, when I was about, boy, I don't remember which birthday it was, I got this little set of Faber-Castell pencils. Somebody had gifted it to me because they knew most of my childhood, I won prizes from art contests or people gave me gifts, art gifts. And so my parents hardly had to ever buy anything for me. So I love that. And when I came here, I hesitated asking my husband to spend money to buy things because, you know, this stuff was not inexpensive. And I remember I used to pray when I fell asleep, right before I fell asleep. It's like, God, do something so that I can get all the art supplies I need, create all I want without having to ask my husband for money. Because I feel bad asking him for money because I'm fully aware that I'm not contributing financially to the family and we have children. And then that started kind of that floodgates just opened. All I was doing was having fun and being myself, and things, literal things started arriving in the mail for me to work with. And I loved it. People started paying me for doing that. And I was like, okay, money has its own intoxication. When you start to get paid, you understand, hey, I can do it too. People are actually paying it. They think I'm valuable, so they made me exclusive to them. And they're paying me more to be exclusive to them. So I don't have to go around looking for who has a call out there, who's looking for what. They are sending me what they need. And I am sending them what I can do. And I'm learning from them. I'm taking their feedback. And I'm learning. And that learning is that is my art school. I'm learning from them what works, what doesn't, because most of the editors, they knew more than me, whether I'm writing an article, how to frame the language or whatever it is. And English is not my first language. So I can express myself, but I'm not always correct. But it was a huge, huge blessing. It was a learning experience. I take feedback well most of the time. If I say it's constructive, I learn from it. I'm not too attached to my art that I can't hear you talk about it or talk negatively about it, if like negatively, quote unquote.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I learned. It was a huge, huge learning experience for me. A very good way, very kind people. They saw something that is beyond skill. And I got support in manner that I had never imagined was available. So that's what I was talking in when I was doing the intro for Belonging. And it said that you say something about yourself and about myself. What have I got to say about myself? I'm a pretty plain person. And okay, let's talk about why I am approaching the topic this way.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're part of Get Messy's season of Belonging. Yeah. And I know when I mailed you, I was so happy that you were down for this season because I feel like it really, I don't know, it's just a gut feeling in my heart that you were made for this season. Yeah, yeah, and now having listened to your story and seen your workshops for Get Messy and all that, it, yeah, completely confirmed. So you obviously spoke about what belonging means to you for Get Messy, but for the podcast, do you want to share what belonging means to you?
Yeah, like I was just telling you that things began to line up. Everything that was suitable showed up as long as I was being me. And when you gave me the topic, I was like, I would not question what is given to me. And that is sometimes a good thing and sometimes not such a good thing. But most of the time, it is a good thing because it is sent to me because it is meant for me. And I embraced that and I thought about it. And even if it was a difficult something that I didn't immediately relate to, this one I connected to immediately, I would have taken that as the challenge of something, turning something that didn't speak to me to something that did.
Yeah.
And belonging, yeah, it has changed. My understanding of what belonging means has changed so much over the years. It was a very tribal sense in the beginning, like your family, the parameters of the family, the values of your family. And then maybe if I was still living in India, maybe I would be living a very, very different life. But I moved and I have lived most of my adult life here in the US. And I'm a very porous person. I absorb very quickly both the negative and the positive. And it like runs through my vein after some time. It comes in and I part of me goes out and it becomes a very symbiotic unit, almost one whole unit with the environment and everything around me. And I began to see that there are many, many things that I thought I was supposed to be part of. If I took the supposed to be out of it, would I still be part of it? And I found no for a lot of things. Do I still not love those people? Many of them I do. Many of them I have outgrown. Not to say that they didn't add value to my life at that point of time. But, you know, we cannot carry everything throughout life. That was something I had to learn. So whatever you have learned, now you can release it and just take the learning with you. You don't have to carry the books with you or the people on your shoulders. It's a learning process of discovering, and the biggest thing, and it didn't happen a long time back. I think it was slowly happening under the surface in the subconscious, and then became very, very aware of it all of last year when I understood that if I wasn't speaking my truth, and when I say speaking my truth, I'm not talking about lying or white lies or anything like that. Honesty, as in, am I really expressing how I really feel? Or am I sugarcoating it to the point that it is so distorted the person listening to it cannot even fathom what's really going on? Because that was happening a lot. And I was thinking, why is this person not understanding? What is, like, I want you to understand my unspoken words, but not everybody isn't in tune with my soul so they can understand my unspoken words. And I understood that there will be people who would understand that, and that would be a gift. And there will be people, more people, who cannot do that, not because they're bad, but because there is a gap in my communication. And when I started closing that gap, like, no, I'm still going to be kind. I'm still going to be compassionate, but I'm going to say how I really feel. So you know what's really going on, the impact of you on me. And when I started doing that, I think, yeah, well, a lot of people fell out of my life. And I am strangely okay with that. But the people that did remain, it made a lot of space for new people to come in. More quality people, fewer people, quality people, people to whom I don't have to translate myself. They get it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They just get it. And I don't know how to word it. And none of them are related to me in any way. I have friends like all over the world. I talk regularly with a friend in France. She's a life coach. And we talk about all sorts of things other than our professions. I have two friends in Mexico. I was talking to her last night. And these are all people that just miraculously appeared in my life when I made that commitment to myself that I need to be able to express how I feel and not sugarcoat it. In a way, it's a patronizing thing that I'm thinking the other person cannot take it. Maybe they can. Maybe they just don't know.
Yeah.
Most of the time, that's the case. They just don't know. But I am hurt or holding on to that hurt, thinking this person did not understand my unspoken words. And that was not even clearly in those words in my mind. It's just this other person doesn't even care. That was the thing. Well, they don't care because they don't know. And yes, some people, when they know, they would care even less. And I am fine with that. I know that I no longer need to carry the burden of making it comfortable for other people at my expense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very wise. I think that whole thing about belonging with a group of people, it's also my friend Vanessa and I talk about a lot, is having people see you and see you, like the real you, the truth about you, instead of what they want to see. That's a very big thing.
I think it's a lot of our paradigms are such that we are made to believe that we are not enough. And this is, like, I love my parents, but the fact that they thought that maybe art school is not going to be the best, financially the best for you. Maybe they thought that I would not be a good enough artist. I don't know what they thought, but I think back to it. And when I see their love for me, I do also see where I believe that maybe I need to go to do something connected to medicine rather than do art, which I really enjoyed. It's not that I didn't enjoy the counseling part of it. I did. But this was always, if this took on a life of its own, then it must have been much stronger and bigger than any of us had assumed.
Yeah. So talk to me about the way this, like, wisdom, because you are crazy wise. It's insane. Oh my God. I watch your stuff and I write like basically everything down that you're saying. But tell me about how this approach to life translates in your art.
Ask me again.
Okay. How do you see the way you see the world with this? I feel like you've got a very Zen approach to life and mature. Like, I mean, it takes time to feel this way. You're not going to feel this way as a teenager. With regards to this is who I am. I'm authentically me. How do you take that and translate it to your art when you look at a piece of paper or a canvas? Or how do you see things and how do you work them out onto the paper?
The only difference that I have been seeing, and yeah, you are very right about the phases of life. When I was a teenager, or even till like end of 2018, let's just say, it was more like what was coming in was more significant to me than what I could put out.
Ooh.
Well, then I just shut all of, it's not that I went and started living under a rock, but when I started speaking my truth, that became part of that. When what is coming in, I started controlling what comes in. Instead of trying to control what goes out, I started controlling what comes in. And that kind of changed. And it's a process, and it's a painful process at times, because art is not just, you know, playing with paints, for me at least. So it touches on raw nerves in many places, but then you start to see a lot of the times when people put you down or made you felt discouraged from the communication you had with them. A lot of the times it was simply them projecting something within them on you.
Mm.
You are the mirror, and they didn't want to see themselves in that form. And they would put you down because it's so much easier to put the blame outside of you, so you don't have to, you get to live another day.
Yeah.
The way you were. But when all of those things, when I started thinking about that, I understood that all of the things that people told me about, whatever it is, that they didn't feel I was good enough. And I internalized those messages. And then I realized for every 10 message that said that I wasn't good enough, there were 90 messages coming from total strangers that said that you are more than good enough. But I chose to listen to the 10 that made me feel that way. So why was I clinging on to that feeling? So that was a huge question. Like, that is a reflection of what I think about myself. That's why those 10 messages took on a life of their own versus the 90 messages that I just simply chose not to listen to. But it was there all along, and I was not paying attention. I was choosing what I was paying attention to. So every person who is giving me a feedback is the same way. When I'm being, when I feel treated unkindly, it's hard to find kindness, turn that unkindness around, mm-hmm. and offer kindness back. But then I started looking at it like this: it's the same thing, taking an uncool, ugly product. Quote unquote, uncool and ugly.
Yeah.
And then turning it into cool that spoke to me better, spoke my language. It's been intensely a process of self-discovery. Maybe that is why I needed to go to study clinical psychology. Maybe I would be a very different person if I went straight to art school and came out as an artist. I would probably be a different kind of artist.
Yeah, for sure.
Just embracing who you are, because you are unique. And at the end of the day, you are born with everything that you need to succeed, prosper, and do whatever. But till you let that loose, let that expression out, no one can see it. It's not their job to dig for it.
Mm.
You show them, and they see what they like and they don't like. Put it out there. So yeah, whether it's an ugly page or a good page, it doesn't matter. There are other people who will connect with you on the basis of that. Don't be afraid of it.
Yeah, that's so true. I feel like whenever I put like my favorite thing out there, it doesn't get the reaction that I expect. You know, it's like maybe less than I expect. And when I put something out that I'm not but that's not maybe my favorite. There's always someone that like loves it. It's bizarre. It's so, it's like, it's very affirming to put the stuff that you don't like as much as your other stuff out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why the internet's so wonderful, because there's always someone out there that it speaks to, that, because you can't control what other people take from it. You put it out and it's there, and then it's its own being in the world, right? And then when other people look, they take what they need. So for some people, it won't be anything. But for other people, it might be exactly what they need at that moment.
Sometimes I would see somebody doing something, either it's on the internet or even in real life, and they are probably doing something entirely different, or I would overhear a bit of a conversation. Is exactly what I needed to hear at that moment, or it would give me a starting of point for something of my own. And I understand that I was in the right place at the right time to hear that information. So it could open a door or a window for me at that moment inside my head, not always necessarily a manifest opportunity in the world, but yeah, it's important. There was an intense phase when everything needed to be really good and exact, when I was especially in the magazine, because like I said, money is very intoxicating and you're starting to make money. It's a recognition. People know you. There's this girl from nowhere and in a demographic that does not have very many of me, my type of people or my color of people. And then I'm there and I'm accepted and I have a different view of life than they have, different philosophy, different spiritual, religious thinking. And you, like I said, you want to not disappoint them. But then a point comes after two or three pages of people pleasing sort of thing. You know, am I just repeating myself here? Like, is that what I want to do? What is the price of popularity?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the price of the price of a layout is more than the price of the materials and the time you put in it. There is a lot more that goes into it. You're sharing your story, very vulnerable stories with the world. And I began to say, you know what? No, I'm going to do my thing. Either they will take it or they will reject it. That's okay. Because it's boring to repeat yourself because one thing worked one time, twice, thrice, then you keep doing it for the rest of your life. My God, I don't want to live that kind of a life. Yeah. So I would venture beyond. I would use materials that are not conventional. They were not acid free was such a big thing. Is it archival? Everybody would, is that acid free? Like, it's newspaper. No, it's not. So how do you make it archival? Well, I don't, but you can. I'll do the research, and this is the product you can use to make it archival. But you know, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to live forever. My art is not going to live forever. And if my art becomes something like that, there's going to be a host of museum people who are experts in archival things who will take care of it. I don't have to. I don't take it upon myself to make my art last forever.
Do you have any practical ways that someone could translate your knowledge into their art journal? And if they want to be more authentic with their art, how would they go about doing it?
It's like reading a book or watching a movie or listening to a piece of music. Let it inspire you. It doesn't have to be the cornerstone of your creativity. It is not. It's what is serious to someone else is their seriousness. It really doesn't have to become your, you have your own. Do not get distracted from what is yours, what is waiting to come out from inside of you by listening to, some things are pleasant to listen to, some things are not so pleasant to listen to. Listen by all means, take what you may, but do not take, not just me, anybody's. And it took me years to understand and learn and actually embrace that somebody else might be succeeding in their own way, but that may not be your way. If you're repeating what they're doing, you will never be as good as what they're doing because they have already mastered that. So why not do something that only you can do?
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember when we were just starting out with scrapbooking, I met a friend and we were very big fans of Heidi Swap. She was a very big fan of Heidi Swap. And I learned to be a fan of Heidi Swap. That was a lot of pink, and Heidi's handwriting was very, very inspiring to me. And I used to think about it, and I used to see all of the pages in the magazine that kind of followed it. Somebody would post something and everybody would kind of hard toward that as the only expression of the moment. And it's like, if I have to make it into a magazine, I need to drop that idea. It's already done and repeated and copied. Do something different. And that's what I started doing. I started telling raw stories that were very raw. Very raw. And sometimes that I learned to do hidden journaling because I didn't want everybody to see what was being said. And a lot of it became, things started translating into symbolism in terms of color, and color became a huge thing. Color was always a thing for me. And a lot of things became expressed in colors rather than words, or the words were there. They were just not as explicit as the colors. And because I understood that when you are working with a magazine, it is their business. And then there are a lot of their values are going to determine what they can and cannot put out there for their audience, because they spend lots of money on to research their audience to see what they can handle or is palatable to them or is enjoyable to them. But then it also needs to find a place in between where it's in self-expression for me. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I won't be able to do it and yet be of some value to somebody else. And the more I became me, the more valuable it was. And I understood that people are much more ready to listen and hear, and that I'm not alone in my experiences. And they have similar things their kids don't pose for. And this is the like a simplest example. Their kids also give them a hard time to, if you want a portrait, like a nice little shot, they would never cooperate with you. And you see all of these beautiful things and you think of these moms as like goddesses. They can do that. Their kids are so good. They are so good. And here we are running after the kids with a camera who don't even want to stop for you. And then you get all these weird shots. And then that became a thing. This is a game. This is a game for us. This is us.
Yeah.
And I switched from trying to capture a beautiful portrait to just let's tell the story with the picture. The pictures tell the story, all right. It's just not perfect.
Mm.
And so I chose story over the perfection.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, story over perfection. Oh, that's lovely. Tell me, okay, so you've got this very Zen view of creating and life, and I love it. Tell me how you, also you haven't gone to art school, you didn't have a perfect, I don't know, creative journey where you creating as a child, then going to art school, and then now, like things are messy in between. Tell me how else you are not a traditional artist.
Yeah, my path hasn't been straight, but I love the path I had because, yeah, it was fraught with difficulties in many ways, many different ways, health-wise and many, many other ways as well. But I wouldn't be me if I had not walked that path, if I wasn't the person in that journey. And while I was in it, it didn't feel so zen, of course, that I can't go back to school. I can't work. Oh my God, I'm going to be dependent. This is not working for me. But sometimes you just have to be still and allow the storm to pass. Because there is something, if you would simply stop kicking and screaming, you could hear your next step direction. You could see it if you just chill for 2 seconds. So I try to do that. It doesn't always work. I fall back, but I try getting back up to it and like, you know what? Let whatever is happening right now, something massive is happening, but it's happening. I can't stop it. Why would I want to stop? I want to see what's beyond it. I no longer want to stop the storm or hide from it. I just want to walk through it. Sometimes the way is through it, not above it, around it. you don't get the same experience above and around it. It's like you are on a roller coaster versus you are watching a roller coaster, right? This is not the same experience. So yeah, I want to see what's beyond.
Yeah. I love that. So you've got, at the moment, you've got two gallery shows right now.
Yeah, my first two solo shows. I'm like, okay.
That's amazing. Congratulations. Thank you. Tell me more about what you're currently loving creating.
I am painting, and I'm painting with the same mindset that let me just be me. I am not someone else. How can I paint like someone else? And if I did, it would not speak to anyone else, is what I feel. So I'm painting, I'm collaging, I'm kind of a lot of different things. I don't know how it's going to, if it's going to ever become a composite whole and a product out in the world, but a lot of things are, I would say, just percolating inside me, and I'm making things as I feel, making a lot of collages. And we will have to see where that goes. It's like a bunch of 5-10 different ideas that I am thinking I want to follow, and I'm following some of them. It's somewhere in my head, I know there is a master organization to this where it's all going to come together. I haven't proved myself worthy of that yet. So I'm getting there. However, yeah, those are things I'll just take it. Like, I don't want to think of it as a part of something big right now and then become all tense about it. Let's just do what's coming. When it's all done, I can see what goes where. For now, I'm just doing that. And the painting, yeah, painting birds. I'm just so drawn to birds. And it all started when I started walking in summer, last summer. I would find all these feathers and I would take pictures and then I'll paint them. And then it started, I want to know more about this bird that has such a beautiful feather. And that made me think of a lot of things. And a whole series of painting came out, Girls with Birds, where there would be a bird cage that is open and the bird is sitting on the girl's hand. So in a way, I was setting something inside of me free by opening that cage up. Then the cage is not like a physical anything, but it's a mental cage that we all tend to put ourselves in, thinking we can't do this, that is not for me, it's never gonna be, I'm not good enough for it. That's it all comes down to, I'm not good enough for that. But then I'm just gonna set it free and let myself be without, I'm not saying I am good enough. All I'm saying is I don't have to operate from there. I can just be me and let other people judge whatever way they want. I don't have to judge myself constantly to sort of soften other people's judgment of me. It's like not even people are not coming in and judging me. It's just all in my head most of the time anyways.
Right. Oh my way. We do that to ourselves. It's ridiculous.
We do. And it's so, so strange. And when I was working on the gratitude journal, I spent a lot of time before that thing even went on the shooting floor. I did a lot of work just to come up with the prompts, like what is relevant? And that was a huge life review for me, kind of from between March and when I went to shoot in July. Yeah, between March and June, that was an intense period of really life reviewing. What am I grateful for? And I saw all of the things, what they did for me, what things that I'm mad at that I'm still grateful for. It was a strange thing that, yes, it is so, but what did it do for you at the time that you can today stand here and be mad at it, right? So all of those things, and looking back, taking a good look at myself, like where am I BSing myself, basically? Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because most of the time it's nobody else. It's just me, myself, doing that to me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. So for anyone listening and listening to your story and maybe feeling like, I can maybe do this, tell me, what would your 3 tips be to anyone that wants to either start art and begin being an artist, or people that maybe want to dig deeper?
for those who are on the fence about whether or not they want to do this, I would say decide. Time will wait till the end of time till you decide. When you decide, everything will start moving, but you have to decide first. And if you decide, excuse me, having designated space to do your work is helpful.
That's being, a big one.
Being open to take every moment you can in a day to do your thing is helpful. That is what I used to do. I used to wait in the car when my kids used to go to dance, karate, or whatever. And I would take whatever I needed to do. I had like a little box in my car that I would switch out every single day. I was on a lot of design teams and I had deadlines to meet. And I didn't have the time because my husband was traveling all the time. And I was hard to find time. But when they were with in their classes, I had uninterrupted time. Most of the moms would go in, socialize, gossip a little. But I never did that. I just sat in the car and I did my work. I pushed my seat back as far as I could from the steering wheel. Most of the time, the steering wheel was my table. And sometimes I pressed the horn. And but yeah, take every moment that you can. It's like your commitment to it, the decision, the commitment. If you commit to it, you will find the space. You will find the time. It's all there for your taking. You have to just decide to do it or not.
Yeah.
There is no excuse of, I don't have the time. Yes, it may be more difficult for you than someone else, but you are also able to deal with the difficulties better than many other people in that case. If you have that in your life, that's because you are able to handle it. So you will handle this too if you choose to. It's your choice.
Exactly. Yeah.
And other than that, what else? Don't run after the latest trends, the techniques or the products, because products pile up. I can tell this from my personal experience. I used to be that chasing person who would buy everything, follow everything. Be your own leader. The more you follow, the more crap you collect. And then you never use them and then you feel guilty. You sit down, you don't know which one to use, and then you do nothing and then nothing gets done. So don't do that. Just do it. You know, that's the best way to say this. I love that slogan. It's the Nike slogan. Do it. Just nothing do beats it. That. Just do it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it does come down to that like basic thing. Like it sounds so simple. I mean, we know every day you make that decision whether you're going to do it or not.
Yeah, and go back to it every single day. Make it a habit. Go back to it every single day. Every single day may not always happen, but you know, it's making every single day, meaning you make the effort to go back to it as much as possible. Like, yeah. I had a huge surgery end of 2018 and I felt like a T-Rex because I was bandaged. All of my body was bandaged and I could only move my hands. And I was doing Inktober. Because I couldn't get up. I couldn't do a lot of things. And I would just sit on the bed with my pillows, propped up with my pillows, and I would just draw very small hand movements.
Like a T-Rex.
Yeah, I was like a T-Rex. I couldn't move. I couldn't do a lot of things. And it lasted for some time. And I made it last a little longer, making like, oh, I can't move, but I can draw all day because that makes me so happy. I was just taking advantage of my family.
Yeah.
So you can do anything. People do incredible things with incredible odds. So you, if you choose to do it, you can be that person too. And for those who dig deeper, take your focus out of the output. Like it's not about the output. That's where your inside meets the art process. And you just start. Either path will show itself. You don't have to map it all out. You have an internal GPS and that's going to guide you.
No kicking and screaming. Just stay
no
still
need.
And
I have
listen.
Kicked and screamed doesn't take you anywhere. You just get so tired and then you can't do anything and you are still anyways. And then you see the light that it was there all along. Yes, you're so dumb to not see it.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and the way you see things. It's such an honor to just listen to you talk and to just hear the way you see the world. It's always so inspiring and makes me want to immediately make art from it and make art the way you make art and see how I can apply it and take what I need. So thank you for being so open and authentic with us and sharing.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And being you, it's wonderful. I love talking to you.
Let's go. Being more of me. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And there is more of you on your own site, which is musaha.com, right? And over there, you've also got your shop and you've got all the online workshops that you've done.
Yeah. It's all listed under various pages. Like there is a blog, there's a shop, there's a workshop tab. Yeah, I'm not technologically the best, but that was my best at the time. I haven't updated it because I prefer to just focus on the work at hand. But yeah, the website needs to be there and it's there. It's good. Yeah. It's easy to navigate. If it's easy to navigate for me, easy to navigate for most people.
Exactly. And if people want to do your art and your work in their home, they're able to do that through your site, right?
Yes, they can. There are downloadable things, printable things. Like when I did the coloring book, I wanted to put it out in the world like most coloring books are, as in a printed format. But then I thought about it, is that what I want to do? How can I make it a little more valuable rather than just a one-time purchase? So I made it that way people can download it and they can print it. And they can, because they are downloading it, they have the, it is at a very high resolution, so they can make it bigger, make it smaller. So they have that option of doing that. And I began to see that I was using those illustrations in my art journals a lot too.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
I would just cut them up. And so I wanted to keep those options open for people. And I have had communication people who wanted to make these into quilts, and they did. So they just printed it bigger and all of that. So making that as a downloadable printable rather than one hardbound copy that is sent to you and that is it, you color it or you don't color it. This is more flexible. You are printing out what you need. Yeah. You don't need to print out all 30 designs right away if you don't want to. Just do one. Finish that coloring, because I have a feeling like when I collect products, I have a whole book. I have only colored one page or half of one page, and then I feel, I never went back to it. It kind of makes me feel guilty. The next, art should not be connected to guilt at all.
Exactly. Amen. Amen.
They have those. I thought out of all of those things. I do not know if other people see it in that same way, but that was my thinking, that you should have all the options. I will give you all the options that I can. You don't have to wait for it to arrive in the mail. You just download it right now and you can print out a page right now. You can cut it up, do it, do whatever you, just give it yourself now.
Ooh,
whatever way you want to see it.
Give it yourself. What a good way of phrasing that. So if you're listening to this, if you're not in your car, immediately go to Muse website and download it and use what you need. But not if you're driving, then please wait. Thank you so much for chatting today. And yeah, that is wonderful.
Gotta get messy and show the world you're growing as an artist. And you're free to be yourself. You got a dream, you need to start it. Stick together. Get messy says you're formally invited to a community where you can find people that spark the feel of excitement. Too many art supplies, not enough time. No, it's tough, and so you must find a way to feel some connection. We got a lot of people with the same kind. A great mind, we're here for you. A platform so we can hear your views. Time's yours, forget chores. I know you're bored of them same rules.